This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
The late, great Shirley Chisholm said that if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. It is with this in mind that ILTA Publications takes aim at boardroom tables everywhere and asks, what seat would you pull up to the table? Our third table-to-chair guest is Brianna Leung, ILTA volunteer in her own awesome capacity, principal consultant at Growth Play, and a kind and vocal advocate for women everywhere. Today, Bree sits down with me, ILTA content manager Bethann Stubbe, and we talk about which chair Bree would bring to the table, who else is there, and so much more. So welcome, Bree.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
How do you see yourself as an IT professional?
As an IT professional, as an accidental one, honestly. My involvement in IT has always been more about the people rather than the technology. So I have to chuckle, honestly, when I get asked a question like, well, what do you do in IT? Because really, I do very little, if anything, in IT. But I did start out as a software trainer in a Dallas law firm back at the end of the 90s, when I had been recruited by a friend who I had previously worked with in a marketing role at a startup. And she said, you know, you can make twice as much money and come over here to this law firm where they have trainers to teach people how to use Microsoft Word. And I thought that was
amazing.
Crazy. And sure, why not? So I did that. And that's how I sort of got into technology. And then I soon got out of the aspect of being a technology expert and into the aspect of being a human expert. And how does that apply to technology?
It's a really interesting kind of segue, because nobody ever comes in using Microsoft Word except, you know, people like me. So I kind of love it. And I really enjoy that you wear so many hats. So let's talk about that marketing, coming into IT, what you're doing now, and especially as a woman who leads.
Yeah. So I do really nothing with technology now. I did spend about 10 years working in the legal technology field. I got a lot of that experience at Traveling Coaches, where I spent almost a decade working as a change management consultant and user adoption consultant, and again, helping people in law firm technology groups understand the human element and aspect of what it means to try to help their end users embrace and learn about technology and use it in a way that's intended for the ultimate benefit. And so I did that for a long, long time. Today, I've started a new chapter, actually, about 5 years ago, where I got out of the technology field per se and really focused on leadership and sales and marketing training and consulting. So at best now with technology, I'm a power user. PowerPoint, but don't ask me any how-to questions.
I won't, don't worry.
Instead, I tend to spend my weeks with attorneys, with lawyers, helping them understand how to build authentic relationships with people so that they can build and grow their law practice in targeted and meaningful ways. So that can look like coaching lawyers individually, or running and facilitating group workshops, or consulting with firm management as part of a larger strategic growth initiative. So it takes many shapes and forms, but essentially my weeks look like spending a lot of time with lawyers, helping them understand how to be the best versions of themselves so that people ultimately want to do business with them. And I started... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's really important, because we need to make sure that there is that human aspect in everything we do. Yeah. You know, Joy came in and said very clearly, there are no second-class citizens. And you're really kind of making sure that that is carried through in everything that IT professionals do, especially within firms.
That's right. Exactly. So while I focus more on the legal side of law now, so much of it still translates. It carries over into how do you build relationships? How do you focus on the human side of your relationships and of what you're hoping to convince people to do, help them learn how to do, whatever the case may be. It really is about honing in on the human needs and the human desires and wants and challenges and being in service to other people so that you can get your message across and be in a solid relationship with them so that you can be influential.
It was really interesting listening to you talk when we were in New York at Women Who Lead. Was moving, and interesting. And I, you know, I think you've got kind of that, you know, that understanding of the human aspect under control so well. How do you see kind of women who lead progressing?
I think women who lead is such a critical and important initiative. And my practice, and thank you for saying that, by the way, that was such a great experience being in New York with, what did we end up? 80 women, I think.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, just a room full of strong women getting together and sharing that incredible level of knowledge.
It was so cool. And hearing all these different stories and experiences of women who've had successes and failures. We've all had successes and failures, but hearing these really personalized stories. And that's something that as a leadership and business development coach and trainer that I am now for a company called Growth Play, as part of my practice and our practice as a company has really taken this strong organic focus on women in leadership and professional roles, whether those women are lawyers or they are executives or consultants or CIOs, right? Regardless of the fact, there are the subset of challenges that women in leadership face. And more often than not, when I am coaching women, it takes this turn, whether it's, you know, I'm working with somebody who's newer in their career and just coming into their own and trying to navigate, how do I own this with my own strengths and not try to model after what the others who came before me did, who may or may not have been women and had different strengths, to working with women who are more mid-level or even senior level, and they're finding their way, having these successes and still not taking ownership of them, still feeling like it was accidental or just luck, you know, the whole imposter syndrome feeling. And it's very, very real for so many of us. And so as for women who lead, I find myself more and more in these confidential conversations and intimate moments with women leaders. And finding myself with an empathetic relationship as a woman myself who is a professional who has young children in my case and constantly feeling that pull and that struggle. And it's just become, I think, clearer and clearer to me that there is this urgent and growing need for us as a society to define and to teach and to implement new norms in the workplace for women leaders that really speak to our strengths as women leaders. And don't assume that our differences as women are our weaknesses.
I think anyone who assumes that weaknesses are, you know, what will be somebody's downfall has probably not only not met you, but hasn't come to one of our Women Who Lead events. But I think that gives us a really good segue into, you know, the idea that if you don't have that seat at the table, you may have that, you know, feeling that you can't advance, you can't continue. Okay. So what chair would you bring to the table?
So I knew you were going to ask this question, Beth Ann, and I struggled with it for a while. And then I said, well, after I was in New York last week and I had multiple conversations with different people I was coaching and training. And at the end of the week, I had this sort of epiphany moment of what I tend to do is build people's confidence. And so my seat is booster seat.
So, I love it.
Yeah. As in being a confidence builder, being, you know, so I'm imagining a chair that's a sturdy, supportive chair that has some clever tricks that help raise it up and raise others up as needed. I think one of the most fulfilling parts of what I do, and in my reflection last week in preparation for this, it really crystallized for me, is that when I get to see people really start to meet their true potential, and I found that getting real with people and breaking down what can seem so undoable, so unachievable, into small, accomplishable goals that tie into their individual strengths, whether as women or as, you know, humans, and then catching people in the moment of doing things well. And when I can do that and do it successfully and repeatedly with the people that I get to be with, their confidence begins to grow. And it's obvious and so apparent. And then that moment in the week or in the day when I get an email or a phone call or a, you know, they're sitting in front of me and they say, you know what, I feel so much better now. My confidence is so much more now. I really feel like I can do this. And to me, that like makes my day. It makes my week hearing that. So that's my seat at the table. It's booster seat.
So. I think that's it's interesting because I think you're basically saying, you know, pick your battles. Nope, that's too many. Put some of those back. We'll come back to them. And it's an interesting, you know, as women, we think that we have to take on everything.
It's
you're
so
saying
true.
Maybe we can, you know, there's a different type of way we can support each other. And that's, I love the booster seat analogy. That's fantastic. But what else is there? Like, what does your table look like? So you pull that booster seat up with a few people. What's the table look like? Who's there?
Well, it's round. There's nothing worse than sitting at a long table that's square, a rectangular table where you can't see half the people that are sitting next to you. So it's definitely round. I think it's small. I always prefer smaller, more intimate conversations. I mean, I spend a lot of time doing leading and being part of large conversations, and those can be good too. But if I'm really picking, I would say a small table. Maybe it's a cocktail table. It's possible. Possible, Bethan, that it's a cocktail table.
I'm in.
With my booster seat. So that's probably the wrong image. But the people that are at the table, I don't have any individuals in mind because, honestly, I'm always interested and enlightened when there are people around the table with me who have a sense of shared values of my own. You know, they're passionate about raising others up and being others-centered, but also who bring their own experiences, their different and diverse perspectives to the table and conversation. And, you know, one of my favorite things to do is sit around that small table and just have the, you know, how are we going to solve the world's problems sort of conversations. And you just sort of find yourself running away with it, bringing different people's ideas and perspectives. And then I guess the other important thing for me, which I don't always get, but would make it ideal, is for people who have a real good, healthy dose of a sense of humor and love a good belly laugh, because I think that laughter is just so cathartic and healing and helps us with the path forward in so many ways when we are surrounded by a lot of struggles and challenges.
I think it's probably a hard period in history for so many reasons, but you mentioned that, you know, solving the world's problems. I don't know where you find the time, because you're also involved with a really, really cool thing. You're involved with She Breaks the Law. So talk to me a little bit about that, because you guys are doing some fantastic work.
Thank you. Yes, it is. I appreciate you saying that. I wish I were doing even more, and I have plenty of goals around doing even more, but it is a fantastic group, and what a name, right? It's, if I had come up with the idea for the group, or at least the name, I would be riding high, right?
Some marketer did the very good job.
Somebody did an awesome job with that. It wasn't me, but truthfully, I am simply a member who has joined what I think is a very important conversation that the founders of this group have started, both online, primarily through LinkedIn, as well as in local gatherings that they started hosting a few months ago, and now they're really getting a lot of traction and momentum. So a little bit of the backstory. She Breaks the Law was founded on International Women's Day in 2019, so just a few months ago. And it was founded by three women who are law firm professionals. They are all across Europe and had known each other through conferences, industry associations, those types of things. And you know, periodically, like we do in ILTA, you know, you get together once a year or more and you do those kinds of sit around the table and have those conversations about how do we solve the problems of the world. And I think they did that a number of times before finally they said, you know what, let's actually do something with this. And so what feels like overnight, they created this group, launched it on LinkedIn, told some people about it, and within a few short months are already 1,000 members strong. So they clearly struck a nerve. They had a message and a really great name that woke people up and said, I want to be part of this conversation. And I think what they're doing that is different or unique from what has already existed out there and really great groups such as ILTA's Women Who Lead is that they are, first of all, opening the conversation globally. So it is truly a global conversation. There are people from all over the world that are part of this group and hosting events and having this talk about how do women in law firms disrupt the norm and change the ways that we are going about promoting and leveraging women and their strengths. And second thing that they're doing differently, in addition to the global conversation, is that they are breaking down the functional boundaries. So it is cross-function. Function agnostic, if you will. So you have people in there who are lawyers, who are technologists, who are marketers, who are accountants, who, you know, you name it, right? Anybody involved in the law and in the practice of law and business of law has a seat at their table, which I think is really, really cool. I got involved when my friend and Ilta peer, who some who may be listening to this may recognize the name, Kim Craig, she introduced me to the group and suggested that we co-host an event here in Chicago, where we're both located. And we did in May, and it was so much fun. One of the founders, Priya Lele, flew in from the UK to join us, and we had table discussions and mingling and networking. And that I see as just the first kind of dipping the toe into the water of it. And I'm really looking forward to leveraging and aligning some of the things we're doing in Women Who Lead to get some of the conversation again at the She Breaks the Law, bigger global and function agnostic level, kind of integrated in ways that would be interesting to everyone.
And again, looking kind of globally, looking at Women Who Lead, looking at She Breaks the Law, so many things have changed. It's an inclusionary table at this point. Yes. Everybody's coming in and sitting down. And it's been interesting for me, not only as an ILTA staff member, but obviously someone who's involved with, you know, all of these great initiatives that ILTA has started. We're looking at diversity and inclusion completely differently. We've added a core value. Do you think it'll help strengthen ILTA?
I am so incredibly proud of ILTA for putting diversity and inclusion into the fabric of the organization as a core value. I think it's so important. So many law firms today, most law firms, I would say, have also recognized that the topic of diversity and inclusion, it has to start to be real and operationalized, not just something that we're giving lip service to. I think absolutely, 100%, ILTA will be made stronger when we are promoting, finding ways to continue to promote and again, operationalize diversity in such ways that we can collaborate as diverse professionals who have a variety of backgrounds and points of view and experiences to bring to the table. And that by making this a core value, it also does something that's really important, which is starting to raise awareness across all of the ILTA membership about implicit bias. And that's something that, again, we can give lip service to, we can put it on a website, we can tuck it in as a core value, but until we operationalize it, which I know ILTA is very bent on doing, it doesn't actually take shape. And in fact, sometimes it can even be more harmful than helpful. So the fact that it's really getting ingrained that there is a group, a steering committee or a group of some sort who's really focused on how do we build this in, how do we really promote it and get inclusion at the core, I think is so important. I think that diversity and inclusion, it's a societal problem for sure. And the more we can talk about it openly and put awareness measures into our professional and our personal experiences, the better off we're all going to be. So it's a big bravo to ILTA from my standpoint.
And I think it'll be really interesting to see how it develops even further this year at ILTACon. And speaking of ILTACon, I assume I'm going to see you there.
Yes, you bet. You will see me there. I got involved in ILTA in 2004. I think I've only missed one ILTACon since 2005. I am a diehard ILTACon goer. So you will see me there. I will actually be talking a couple times. The first is I will be a panelist on the Women Who Lead panel during their session on Tuesday, where we are talking about work-life balance or the myth that is. and how do you turn it off? How do you lead by example? How do you create boundaries so that as a woman leader, and frankly, even as a male leader, how do you focus on being engaged and present in the moment of whatever you're doing and whoever it's with? So we'll be talking about this really important conversation. But one thing that will be a little different, I think, than recent years with the Women Who Lead session is it is our intention to not only have the panelists talk, but also to do some small group conversation. And so having some table talks and more one-on-one opportunity for networking and mingling as we then take it from the session room out to the cocktail reception that always happens. So I'm hoping that everyone who's listening to this comes to that session. I think it's going to be a great opportunity to meet others and talk about some small wins that we can make in terms of turning it off and finding some balance if there is such a thing. And then on Wednesday afternoon, I get to partner up with the great Joy Heath Rush to deliver our session on, it's actually a workshop on how to tell stories, how to tell stories to impact and influence others and get your ideas sold. And so we are going to have an absolute blast. And again, I hope that we'll have a full house and get to hear lots of people making up some stories that are going to be really great. So yes, you will see me there.
I can't imagine that either that Tuesday session for Women Who Lead or Joy and your session on Wednesday or are going to have an empty seat in the house. I'll be probably perched in the back, you know, crying along with everyone else. But I think that there's so much value in having these conversations, you know, with each other. And I know that they're going to go incredibly well. And I'm looking forward to attending both of those, as should everyone who's listening along with us. But as we wrap up, Bree, thank you for joining me. But tell me one more thing. What's next for you? Since you've got a huge amount of activity and fun and learning on your plate.
What's next for me? It's always a bit of a mystery. I am a change junkie. My husband, who many people in ILTA would know, he is Dean Leung, and he is famous for saying that the reason we move every couple of years is because I don't like to stay in one place. So I get bored with too much routine. So who knows what's next? But that said, for the first time, maybe ever in my career, I genuinely feel like I am in exactly the right place, doing exactly what I want to be doing and somehow miraculously getting paid to do it.
Always the goal.
I mean, it's, yeah, one of the things that I'll teach in sales training, business development coaching is, what's your elevator pitch? You know, what do you say, or how do you answer the question, what's new, when somebody asks you what's up or what's new? And, you know, sarcastically and tongue in cheek, I always say, you know, please don't answer living the dream, because that's sarcastic and, you know, clearly sends the message that you don't really like doing what you're doing. And yet, I have to answer your question by saying that, man, I truly am living the dream. Love the people I work with. I love what I do, and I couldn't be happier. So what's next? Big mystery, but I'm certainly in no hurry to find out.
Bree, thanks for joining me. I love talking to you. I love your energy. And I'm really grateful that you're part of our greater ILTA family.
Thank you. So am I. And thank you for this opportunity. It was a lot of fun.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.